This is Jay Sekulow, two victories in court, an update from Europe.
Live from Washington, D.C.
This is my right.
Jay Sekulow Live.
Right given by God.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now.
Live a free life.
Call 1-800-684-3110.
Live in freedom.
That's 1-800-684-3110.
Talking about freedom.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
I will fight.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Taking your calls on a variety of topics. We're going to talk about two victories in court. We're going to talk about the organization of the Islamic Conference. We're going to talk about Islam and Christianity and how those intersect. And what about people that were raised and became Muslim but now are becoming Christians, which we're seeing a huge outpouring of conversions from Islam to Christianity. What does that all mean for the geopolitical situation? Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. And by the way, for those of you that have ever been to beliefnet.com, I want to encourage you that starting on Thursday, and some even a little bit tomorrow, Barry Lynn, of course, is the head of Americans United for Separation of Church and State, will be engaged in a live blog called Squaring Off, and I hope to get Barry on the program actually even tomorrow or Thursday to talk about this. So we'll be tackling some of the critical issues. One of those, by the way, is the upcoming Summit on Religion that is being hosted by Rick Warren, the author of The Purpose-Driven Life and, of course, pastor of Saddleback Church. And interestingly, the two candidates are coming, Barack Obama and in this particular occasion, Senator McCain as well. So it's going to be very interesting. I hope they get into some of the issues about judges. I hope they get into issues about abortion. It appears that they may not, and I think that would be a missed opportunity. But we'll talk about that again in the days ahead. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me tell you this also. Two big victories in court, and I mentioned them very briefly yesterday, but I wanted to mention them again. The ACLU brought a lawsuit against a state court county judge, James DeWeese, because of a poster entitled Philosophies of Law in Conflict that was in his courtroom. The ACLU charged that Judge DeWeese display of the poster, which graphically compares and contrasts the Ten Commandments with seven humanist principles. Well, they said that violated a 2002 injunction barring him from displaying a poster consisting solely of the Ten Commandments under the caption The Rule of Law. Well, they filed a motion to hold Judge DeWeese in contempt. The American Center for Law and Justice and our senior attorney, Frank Mannion, went to work on this case. I hope to get Frank on the program a little bit later in the week. And a good victory. Maybe we can get Frank actually tomorrow to talk about this. We won. The ACLU lost. And then in California, the homeschooling situation has also resolved in a very positive decision, allowing Californians to engage in homeschooling. We're also going to give you a report right now from the United Kingdom. Jordan is in the UK. Jordan, what is the update on the situation with Adnan? What's the situation with the Islamic Conference generally?
Today, our ECLJ team took Adnan and his wife down to the new barrister that we've recruited for him to handle his appeal here in the UK. It's a different process than America. You first recruit a barrister who agrees to take the case. They do the research. They start from scratch, even though this is an appeal, start with depositions, the same kind of testimony. And then they actually have to find someone. It's the solicitor. They have to find someone to argue the case, the barrister. So it's a very different system. Here they're meeting with the solicitor, and today they're giving testimony, which will take hours and hours today. They're in traveled abroad to do that as well. So it's very busy here. The good news is, because of what happened legally, he's got more time. Him and his wife have more time in their situation here in the UK. We're actually in Scotland now doing filming for the television broadcast. So folks should look out for the next month or so. We're going to be able to be taking the cameras in their home, in their church, and around the entire UK.
Yeah. Well, hang on a second, Jordan, here. Hang on a second. We're going to give you, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, more from Jordan and the United Kingdom. Folks, what's your role of the impact of Islam as compared with Christianity and the attempts by some in the Islamic movement to silence Christian voices? Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And if you want to stand up against the organization of the Islamic Conference, you go to your phones right now, 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
Around the world, Christians are under attack. In Iran, a couple is tortured for reading the Bible. Two men tried and convicted for possessing Christian books in Algeria. Examples of a growing global crisis. Christians targeted because of their faith. Now, one of the largest organizations inside the United Nations is making a bad situation worse. The Organization of the Islamic Conference at the UN is pushing a dangerous resolution called Combating Defamation of Religions. It's an anti-Christian measure, and it endorses what's taking place in many Muslim countries, where those who even speak about Islam are severely punished with imprisonment, even death. Now more than ever, Christians expressing their faith are now guilty of hate speech. The American Center for Law and Justice, along with its European affiliate, is sending a powerful message to this UN group. Its anti-Christian bigotry won't be tolerated. Stand with the ACLJ and sign on to this petition. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online at aclj.org. It happens every day. People log on to the website at the American Center for Law and Justice, aclj.org, for critical resource information, information that makes a difference. People like Kim from Utah, who turned to aclj.org for legal information that helped her son complete a project for school.
He was not being allowed to use a cross for one of his ceramic stamps, although it met all the criteria for that particular stamp. We went to your website and we printed up three different things on students' rights, religious freedom, and he was allowed to use this stamp.
Listen, we are thrilled that that has happened, and that's why we have that great information available at aclj.org.
The ACLJ stands ready to help you with the information you need most, whether it's on Jay Sekulow Live, the ACLJ's daily radio broadcast, or online at the website for the American Center for Law and Justice. Check it out. Information that makes a difference. Online at aclj.org.
This is my right.
Folks, let me ask you this question. We've got a whole team over in the United Kingdom right now. I can't even give you the exact location because of the security concerns. You've got someone that was trained to be an Islamic cleric. He was on the program yesterday, and he became a Christian, and he came to faith in Jesus Christ, and now he's facing deportation to Syria, which effectively, folks, is a death sentence. And at the same time, you have the Organization of the Islamic Conference trying to basically pass a defamation of religion resolution, which would outlaw and prohibit the proclamation of the gospel. Why? Because it would be the defamation of Islam. How do you react to that? What's your thoughts about that? What about the proclamation of the gospel as it relates to this whole Islamic situation? 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110 is our number. Talking to you on air. What about the role of Islam and its attempt to stifle the proclamation of Christianity? Also, I want to encourage you that are listening. We are handling this case right now, but we're fighting at the United Nations against the Organization of the Islamic Conference, and we need your help. I want to encourage you to go to your phones, sign the petition standing up against this defamation of religion prohibition that's going to be passed by the Human Rights Council unless we can aggressively derail it. Here's the phone number, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. Jordan is actually in the United Kingdom right now working on this situation. Jordan, what is the latest? People need to understand that this is, and you've been doing a lot of research on this, this is effectively a death sentence for this family.
Well, yeah, it is very much a death sentence. Folks will see. We got to do some behind-the-scenes interviews. These are very different interviews than we've ever done for our television broadcast. These are where the faces are dark now. We've had to change the names. We can't give away exact locations, even the area that we're in. Even when we were at his church with his wife, the pastor who we interviewed separately to talk about the situation here in the United Kingdom with this growing and very vocal Muslim minority here who is asking for the same kind of protections as the OIC with the defamation of religion, basically saying, don't talk to us about your faith. Don't tell us. Don't talk to other Muslims. Don't talk to our young people. Don't be on those street corners. And even the Archbishop of Canterbury, who is in effect the head of the Church of England, has made comments like he can understand why Christianity is offensive to Muslims and why the Trinity is offensive to Muslims, as well as saying things like the Sharia law may have a place within the English common law system. Now, here's what's really scary about that, Dad. While the Muslims are asking for that, they, on the other hand, are on the streets. They are vocal. They are reaching out to the community. In fact, the man and his wife who were interviewing, he was being trained to come directly to the UK to convert Christians to Islam. He was going to target his job was, because of his great English skills and other language skills, he knows three or four languages perfectly, and you'll see that on the television broadcast, his job was going to be to target Christians to convert them to Islam, and he came from a very radical branch of Islam in his home country. So that's what's going on here. Right when we were getting on the plane to come over to the UK to fly to London, we got an email immediately saying that things had changed, that there was a legal situation. So the case has been pushed back. This is the appeal, the second stage.
Which is good, actually. Yeah, that's a positive development. Right.
And then there's another stage left of appeal. So this could be a very long battle, but we're really looking forward to showing folks our work here. We've got our legal team that was interviewed for the programs. We've interviewed him. We've interviewed his wife. We've interviewed the pastor. We'll let you see some of the church. Of course, we can't show you faces and exact locations. But what we're doing is going around the country and shooting other parts of the program so that if anyone who watches that who is looking for him and looking to hurt him, and he's had threats from his father who's threatened to kill him, his wife's family has threatened to kill them, and in their home countries, if they did that, they would not be prosecuted.
You know, it's these honor killings is what they're called, and he talked about that yesterday on the broadcast. And folks, look, this is serious, serious stuff, and this organization of the Islamic Conference is just trying to ramrod this stuff through the United Nations, and we've got to speak out against it. I've deployed a team to Europe. We've got others working, but we need to hear from you on this. You need to add your name to this petition, going to the United Nations, standing up against the Organization of the Islamic Conference. Here's the number, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. Now, folks, let me ask you this question. I want your response on this. Is Islam a threat to Western civilization? Is it a threat to Christianity? Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Lorraine is on the phone from Washington on line four. Hi, Lorraine.
Hi, Jay. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. Yes, I do believe that Islam is a threat to Western civilization, and I think that the way they're persecuting the Christians is very similar to the terrorism that's going on there over there with Israel and Hamas. I mean, they're trying to. Their intentions are very clear. They don't want peace. They want to destroy Israel, and I believe that Islam doesn't want these other religions to survive. They want their religion.
Well, it's a domination aspect. I mean, and Jordan, you've talked to the client about this, and obviously he knows, he's been trained. What was his sense of that, on that whole domination theory?
He was recruited at a very young age of his home country to be trained as an imam, to go to Europe because of his oratory skills, which you'll see on the television broadcast, especially when you see it on television, just it means so much more. You can tell this is someone whose native language is not English, yet his English is absolutely perfect, and he never lived in a country where it was an English-speaking country. He had just learned the language. He also speaks French and other languages as well, of course, his home language, Arabic. But he was so radical when he was in his home country that the radicals sent him to a more moderate country in the Persian Gulf to learn how to work with others, how to deal with others, because his job, again, was going to be to come to Europe, and target the Christian community, to speak to them, to outreach them, to evangelize the Christian community. You'll hear all about this on the television broadcast. What was interesting about this, Dad, was that the date he was baptized was around the exact same time he would have been sent to Europe to become an imam, to start doing that job as recruitment and evangelization for this radical branch of Islam. But he became a Christian instead in the Persian Gulf. His wife had never had an opportunity to go to church until they moved out of that country here to the UK. But to make this very real for people, this is a little preview of the interview that I thought was most touching and something he didn't say, we didn't discuss on radio. And he said, it's not that he's not in danger being in the United Kingdom. That's, of course, why we can't show his identity and can't let you know where he is. But he knows that at least in the United Kingdom, it is a system of law. There is a rule of law, and if anyone does hurt him or tries to hurt him, they can be prosecuted, which means anyone who attempts to do that or is thinking about doing it knows that if they do it here, they will get in trouble. They will be prosecuted. They'll face life imprisonment, whereas in their home country, if he is deported back to his home country, they don't have any fear of any kind of prosecution whatsoever. It's an honor killing, which under the Sharia law overrides any constitutional religious freedoms in that country, which means that if someone converts from Islam to Christianity, the punishment is death under the Sharia law, and their family or a friend or a neighbor can carry out that punishment without any fear of retribution.
Well, the reality is, and I think you have to be realistic here, is that this is an ongoing threat of significant proportions, and we're engaged in it, folks, head on. But again, we need your help on this. We've got to stand up to this organization of the Islamic Conference. Here's the number, 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. We're standing for, these are real people involved in this that are going to face basically a death sentence. Why? Because they become a Christian. Jerry's calling from Wisconsin on line 5. Hi, Jerry.
Hello, hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my
sure.
call. Yeah, I deeply agree with you. There should never be a proclamation that silences any speech critical of anything, including religion, because religion is a set of beliefs. I'm not a Christian. I'm a humanist. And I wouldn't want a proclamation that says nobody could criticize humanism if they should debate in the marketplace of ideas. And if Islam's right, they shouldn't need to be able to censor other groups.
You know, one of the interesting aspects of this, Jerry, is the fact that what it does is put a resolution, which you can imagine the weight it carries if it's passed by the United Nations General Assembly, which in essence says that speaking out against one's religion, the only example, by the way, they give is Islam, is actionable. And what will happen is they then get all the European countries and others to pass laws that are similar. It's beyond a hate speech situation. It actually would effectively criminalize, in a sense, the proclamation of the gospel. And, Jordan, the reality is we've got to win this in September and then again in March in order to carry the day here. They've got a lot of support. And this is the Organization of the Islamic Conference is a very influential group.
Well, and I'll tell you what's happening here in Europe and specifically in these EU countries in Western Europe is that the people are so afraid. And we had a pastor on the television broadcast. He is an English pastor from the United Kingdom at a church in the UK, and he is afraid to show his face on this broadcast because he could be identified as having someone who converted from Islam to Christianity attend his church. Now, he didn't do the conversion. He was not there. He was not the one witnessing to our client here. But because he attends the church, that could be enough to bring violence to the church, threats to the church, and harm the other members of the church. This is not a church full of converts from Islam to Christianity. It's a regular church in the UK, an evangelical church. The situation here, Dad, really came to light when those cartoons and that whole issue with the cartoons came out throughout Europe. And instead of saying, yes, we're offended, and of course, when anyone attacks religion, if it's poking fun or anything like that, it's offensive, yes. But the Muslim community said, we're not going to stand for that, and became violent.
Yeah, and that's one of the things.
That's the different mindset.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, no, we don't support that, and this is wrong because it's offensive, they start violence.
Yeah, I'll tell you, and folks, we got to stand up, and we're doing that. We've got our teams deployed in Europe right now. We've got our UN team working on it as well. But here's where you come in. We need your help. Sign the petition against the defamation of religion being passed, 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
Around the world, Christians are under attack. In Iran, a couple is tortured for reading the Bible. Two men tried and convicted for possessing Christian books in Algeria. Examples of a growing global crisis. Christians targeted because of their faith. Now, one of the largest organizations inside the United Nations is making a bad situation worse. The Organization of the Islamic Conference at the UN is pushing a dangerous resolution called Combating Defamation of Religions. It's an anti-Christian measure, and it endorses what's taking place in many Muslim countries, where those who even speak about Islam are severely punished with imprisonment, even death. Now more than ever, Christians expressing their faith are now guilty of hate speech. The American Center for Law and Justice, along with its European affiliate, is sending a powerful message to this UN group. Its anti-Christian bigotry won't be tolerated. Stand with the ACLJ and sign on to this petition. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at aclj.org.
For many of us, college didn't happen when we thought it would. We got busy with jobs, family, life. But that doesn't mean a college degree is out of your reach. You don't have to put everything else on hold to go back to school. As a Regent University student, you can take all your classes online. Sessions begin every 8 weeks, so you can fit your class schedule to your life schedule. With degrees ranging from global business to religious studies, you'll get the education you've always wanted in a way that fits your life today. Regent offers both 2- and 4-year degrees. And with more than $1.9 million in scholarships and grants awarded to undergraduate students this year alone, a private college education may be closer than you think. visit applytoregent.com or call 1-888-REGENT-U to find out more about our degree programs, scholarships, and grants.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. Jordan's on the phone line from the United Kingdom. We are handling a case right now where a husband and wife, former Islamics, come to faith in Christ, very significant conversions. Now they're facing a deportation to Syria, which is effectively a death sentence. We've got a full team in the United Kingdom. We've got our government affairs team working on this as well. And we're taking your phone calls. And here is the question of the day. Is Islam a threat to the West? And in particular, is it a threat to Christianity? 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. James is calling from Virginia on line 6. Hi, James.
Oh, hi. Hi. My name's James. I wanted to just talk about it. We got to see it a little firsthand 2 years ago in Malaysia, which is supposedly a moderate Muslim state. And I think the crown prince at the time had converted to Christianity because of an operation that he needed to have, I think, due to cancer. And he had to leave the country, and he can't come back to the country because the head of the family has a contract on his life, an honor killing, basically. But the one thing that is most Christians do not understand that are not in Muslim countries, whether they are progressive, supposedly, like Malaysia, is that if you build a church, if you build one church, you are not allowed to build it within a 25 to 35 mile radius of that another one within that area.
So they basically put restrictions into where you can build and where you cannot in a church.
Yeah, but you cannot talk about it. When we flew in, I came in to do a series of concerts for a church in Kampar, which is kind of up north central.
Yep.
And I mean, it's very, very much like reading something out of a movie from Vietnamese War period. It's out in the boon. But these Chinese that are there, and the Indians that are there that are Christians, are incredibly dedicated Christians. And I'm more of a moderate. I'm a Presbyterian, but I was incredibly moved by these people and their dedication to Christ and the things that they had to basically undergo, which was if they spoke out, if they proselytized, they were arrested.
Yeah, and we're seeing that, and James, I appreciate your call. Jordan, you're seeing that. We've been throughout Europe and the Middle East over the last 7 or 8 weeks. I'm back in our headquarters in Virginia. Jordan's overseas right now. We're seeing that, James, more and more, actually, the same kind of threat. Right. And, Jordan, you're seeing this kind of, I call it the rising tide of Islam.
Right. Well, and it was interesting. In another television broadcast that we were taping in Washington, D.C., with Coptic Christians from Egypt that's going to be running very soon as well, we were at a rally that they were holding in front of the White House. And one of the speakers that we had on the program from one of the organizers of the rally had said that one of the biggest problems in Egypt is that they're allowed to build churches, but that you've got to get permits. That was just like what James was talking about happening in Malaysia. And then when you need to renovate, when you need to make an addition, when you need to add a bathroom, they won't approve it. And then you've got to shut down because you won't meet certain health codes.
So they're basically using...
And none of these laws are enforced against mosques. They have no laws to building new mosques. This is only enforced against churches. And in that situation, Egypt, those are not converts for the most part from Islam. Those are traditional Christians who have been there since the time of Christ.
Yeah, this is it's a growing problem. And then you got the whole aspect of kind of the radical end of Islam, which is taking a very aggressive attitude both at the United Nations and in the law. So all of this comes into play and makes a significant statement. Zakawi is on the phone from Michigan on line 4. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. This is my first time calling, and I'm a Muslim, and I resent the fact that, there's a lot of propaganda being put out against Islam.
Well, when you say propaganda, let's be specific. I mean, I respect that you carry your beliefs and you believe in your statements. Do you think that someone speaking out, a Christian saying that Jesus is the way into salvation, which is offensive to Islam, should that be a actionable offense under the law?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I don't. But the point is that there's a lot of people out there that is against Islam and putting out a lot of propaganda against Islam.
What would you say the biggest propaganda point is? You got a national radio audience here, so what would be the biggest propaganda point that you think that's out there right now?
Just outright just lying on Muslims, period, saying that Muslims murderers and they're out to kill everybody. That's a lie. Because
well, no one's saying that. No one's saying that. Hold it. No one's saying that all Muslims are terrorists. I mean, no one. I've not heard that statement. I mean, that's not true. And there are people making those statements. That's incorrect. But you have to admit, Zakawi, there is a branch of Islam that is very militant and very aggressive.
Christianity too. There's a lot of people. You go to prisons right now and ask the people, "What is your religion?" And they'll tell you it's Christian.
But they didn't conduct they did not conduct the acts in the name of their religion. And I'm not questioning anybody's faith here. They didn't conduct the acts by saying, "I'm a Christian, therefore I am doing this act." And that's the difference that we're seeing here in the United States, and really pronounced in Europe. This idea, Zakawi, of an exemption for religion. That's the thing that I'm concerned about. It sounds like to me you don't think that they should be exempt from discussion, that people should be able to talk about their faith and should be able to try to persuade others.
Well, would you give me a chance to
sure.
say something? Okay, like I said, you know, your religion is not what you profess, it's what you practice. And like I said, there's a lot of Christians that are in jail right now for murdering, maiming, and killing, and all this stuff. And then they claim to be Christian.
But they didn't do it in the name of their religion. And the fact that someone, while in prison, comes to Christ, I think it's a great thing. So I think you're mixing the two. I understand your point. I disagree with it. We can agree to disagree. And we're certainly seeing a very different situation over in Europe right now, Jordan.
Here's, I think, the big point that we've gotten from all the interviews we've conducted. Not all Muslims are radical. The problem is that the radical Muslims are the vocal Muslims, the ones who are pushing forward for this kind of legislation at the UN, these kind of resolutions, the ones who take to the streets in Europe and cause violence and make threats. And the problem is the leadership, moderate or whatever you'd like to use the term, is either too afraid or just lets them get away with this. And then they're letting this small minority within Islam identify and label all Muslims that way, because when a big enough part of this minority of the group is the only one speaking out for you, whether it's in the media or on the streets or in Europe or in the Middle East, and the governments in the Middle East don't do anything about it, and the Muslim leaders don't condemn these people, and what usually happens is they'll condemn the worst. But the situation here that we've got going on in these countries is some of these countries claim to be secular, but Sharia law still overrides everything. And under Sharia law, you can kill your son for converting to Christianity and not be prosecuted. Yeah. But that wouldn't be considered radical. You've got to understand the terminology. That's not a radical belief within the religion. That's a normal and typical belief following Sharia law.
Folks, that's why you got to go to your phones right now. I mean, you just heard, I think Jordan said it exactly correct. I mean, it's a definition of what is radical. And if killing your child because they are, quote, an apostate is not radical, well, I don't know what is, but that, to me, it is the definition of words here. We need to stand up at the UN against the Organization of the Islamic Conference, and we need you to do it with us. Here's the phone number, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. Bob from Rhode Island is calling from line 5. Hi, Bob.
Yes, if Islam really is the truth and if it's the best religion, then why does it have to be forced onto people? Why can't they be, if it was good enough in its own merits, people would freely choose it for themselves?
Well, you bring up a great point, and that's the difference between, you know, Christianity and Islam, and that is this whole issue of free will and how that plays out. And that is, at the end of the day, and Jordan, and we only got less than 30 seconds here, but Jordan, that is one of the things you've kind of really got a great understanding of by being over and dealing with Adnan and that whole situation.
The situation here is this. They don't want a level playing field. They want to be able to evangelize on the streets by the churches. They don't want the Christians to be able to evangelize on the streets by the mosque.
It's that simple, folks. And if this Organization for the Islamic Conference gets through their defamation of religion, well, that's going to be the law for all of Europe and maybe for the rest of Western civilization. So here's how we stand up and we fight it. We go to the phones and we get this petition to the United Nations and we speak out at the Human Rights Council hearings in September, again in March. Here's the number. It's 1-877-989-2255. Now, this is to sign a petition standing up against the Organization of the Islamic Conference. It's 1-877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org and get updated information on this. But you go to your phones right now, 1-877-989-2255 or aclj.org.